Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and good afternoon. Welcome to West Side Visions here on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Brother Tony Bullock with my co-host, Sister Eileen Reed. Sister Reed, are you there?
I am here, Brother Bullock, ready for another great show.
Yes, indeed. And before we get the show started, I would like to give a shout out to those over at Free AME who are right now talking, discussing the Southwest plan here in the city of Fresno. As you and I both know, there have been some promises to the 9376, and for some reason, the city of Fresno always says one thing. Basically, they talking loud and saying nothing. They make certain promises and never deliver.
Well, this is true, and I really think that meetings like the one that Leadership Council is holding right now at FA is important so people understand the history of the implications of this rezone initiative the City Council is trying to put together. And all of this has to do with a lot with monies that came down from TCC, how those monies were spent, and the promises that were made by the city council about land use and how they weren't going to have any more industrial facilities in Southwest Fresno, and now they're trying to renege on that. So we need to stay on top of this story and be talking about this, because we're talking about people's lives now with this environmental impact that's going to go along with these additional industrial businesses that they want to put out there. So it's important.
Yes,
story.
Indeed.
Very important.
Those of us, that's very important. Those of us who have lived in the 93706 zip code, we have seen the impact from the industry done and allowed to happen in our area. We've seen lives shortened because of things like the Darling plant, where noxious fumes constantly fill the air. And people suffer from bronchitis and asthma. Lifespans shortened. You know, just allowing industry along with these trucks and processing plants to just take over the areas in which people are trying to live. But as you notice, you won't find that out north where Jerry Dyer and his people live.
Well, this is true. And people need to understand that it's already been, we have the stats to prove that residents in Southwest Fresno are already living an average of 20 years less than their North Fresno counterparts. So I continue to ask the question, why can't we put some of this industrial business in North Fresno? Let's put some out there. Let's put some out in Clovis. Let's put some out in Kermit. But let's definitely put some out in North Fresno.
You know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Right, and stop using Southwest Fresno as a dumping ground for businesses that you don't want in your own neighborhoods.
No, not only as a dumping ground for businesses, but a dumping ground for the homeless, a dumping ground for mentally challenged. They direct crime into the area. You know, they can say what they want, but they have a scheme and a plan, and that scheme and plan always seems to impact zip code 93706.
Absolutely. Right now, I understand that the city council is trying to, they're passing an ordinance about homeless blocking city sidewalks, and they want to prevent that. And something similar is going on in San Francisco as well. But for sure, this is the dumping ground for the city, and that needs to change. That needs to
yes,
change.
Yes, indeed. You know, I also read a story today where the City Arts Council is up in arms because the city proposed what they call Plan P for the arts, passed it, and I mean got some big-time money for the arts, but have yet to spend a dime because now they're trying to figure out how can we take this money that we asked for arts and incorporate it into the city funds.
See, exactly.
Jerry Dyer at work again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is true. And, you know, this political sleight of hand that the city of Fresno does has been going on for years in Southwest Fresno. It's a proven fact that general funds that were supposed to be targeted for West Fresno over the last several decades had been funneled to different parts of the city to improve those areas and left West Fresno languishing. So I'm not surprised that they're trying to hijack this arts money, and I hope the Fresno Arts Council stays on top of this and does not allow that to happen without a fight.
Well, you know, with Southwest Fresno, or basically West Fresno, what the city council and the mayors have always done is really pencil pimp us. They will write down what they're going to do for 93706 on a piece of paper and adjust it to where, well, yeah, you know, if we move it from over here, we can literally do the same thing in this part of the city. And somehow that's what always happens. That proposed
right.
unit, apartments, whatever, ends up in another part of the city. And that money that was going to be used for 93706, it somehow always seems to get used for improvements up north.
Well, that concept that you just outlined was taken to a whole different level with Premier Mayor Ashley Gerrington with the TCC money that she used 93706 as an example of the great need and all of that. And so, yeah, she was able to get $70 million for Fresno based on the needs of 1976. And we can look at what is being built in 1976 based on what she was the outlook. So this is a problem with political sleight of hand. And people need to remember that this is an election year now. And, you know, you're always saying, Brother Tony, about your vote being your voice. So I'm hoping people are getting ready to vote their feelings about how things are handled in the city of Fresno.
Yes, indeed. And with that statement you just made, we're going to get into what tonight's topic is going to be. And before I do that, let me just say thank you to our audiences. I am very thankful that people are kind enough to listen to us, not only when we're going live, but also when they go back and pull up and listen to our archives. I really appreciate that. And I'm starting to find out that nationwide we're getting a little bit of traction out there, and we're starting to get an international audience, and I'm that kind of person. I'm really thankful for that. Don't take it for granted, because you could be doing something else. So thank you very much for those of you who tune in, call in, and listen in. We really appreciate you.
Yes, we do. We really do. And one of the things that I'm learning, I knew it, but I'm learning even more since working on this show with you, is that, you know, all politics are local. So when we're talking about things in our particular city or state or country, I'm hoping that people are going to be looking at what's going on around them in their city, you know, or towns or, you know, their country and saying, well, hey, do I have this problem over here? So, yeah, it's important, and we really do appreciate everybody who takes the time to listen to our show. So,
yes, indeed.
Yeah, tonight's topic is a hot one.
Yes, it is. We're coming up on 2024, and you know those in the GOP are already stating that they're ready to run, and those who want to run for president are declaring their candidacy already. So tonight we bring you 2024 Republican candidates for president so far, because trust me, this Republican field is always huge. Some hang in for the long run, but many drop out 4 or 5 months in. So we'll see what happens this year. And,
right.
You know, Sister Reed, I cannot lie. This has been amazing already from the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
And
It's hard to discuss the GOP without a smile on my face, because the party has changed so much in the last, you know, 4 to 5 years, and it appears that they have lost their way about so many things. And really, for some of us, it's a joke, although it's really not a funny joke, the way the GOP is dealing with things. So when you know, talked about doing this show about the GOP candidates, I was like, okay, this is going to be good.
Yeah, and you know, like you just said, it's you do it, and you do it with a smile on your face, and you do it with a smile on your face because it's not that you're laughing. Sometimes you're laughing to keep from crying. And, you know, I can be real honest. Once upon a time, you know, we had people in the GOP who were tough, but they were hard, but they were honest. Now we have folks in the GOP that talk out of both sides of their mouth. They will lie before hell can scorch a feather. The truth is not in them. And as a politician, I expect a little bit of that. But as a politician, if you claim you're standing up for the country, I really expect you to do that. I don't expect you to stand up for the white folks in the country, the black folks in the country, the Hispanic folks in the country. I expect you to stand up for the country you claim you represent.
Well,
and if anyone has...
Yes.
Go ahead,
no,
Sister
Reed. I agree with you. Well, I think what gets me as a citizen of this country and somebody who wants to be watching is the fact that the GOP frontrunner, the main guy, their main guy, is the former president. And you're talking about a person who is a known liar, who has just lost a civil lawsuit for sexual abuse, sexual battery. And I'm trying to find out what is the redeeming quality of this program, this GOP program. And I have to say, I cannot see it. I can't see any redeeming quality. So.
Yep. And, you know, for those of you out there listening, you want to join in, you have something to say, give us a call at 563-999-3043. Dr. Comier, if you have your ears on, please join us. Dr. Harris, when you finish up doing what you're doing, please. We definitely, because you run for office, so we'd like to hear from you tonight. But anyone, you know, that feel like they have something to say, give us a call. We'll be here for a little bit. Sister Reed? You're just a little bit muffled, but I'm quite sure you're going to work that out in a minute. You're going to find that spot. So why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Well, Yeah, it appears that Donald Trump actually launched his. Can you hear me?
I can hear you good now.
Okay. It appears that Donald Trump launched his campaign for reelection last November. And in true, you know, form, he has already started taking pot shots at, you know, the people who are wanting to run and who have declared, like DeSantis. He, you know, commented on DeSantis's glitch field announcement and all of that. But we need somebody who is better at policy and not worried about quips thrown at his opponents. And other than, you know, hayfield rhetoric and division and chaos, I don't see anything that Donald Trump is bringing new to the table. I can't see it. So
no, and I agree with you on that. Donald Trump, as I always call him, 45 is still swearing up and down that the election when he ran against Joe Biden was stolen from him. Based on that, he actually talked some people into attacking the Capitol. People can say what they want. They can say, well, you know, he was just talking. I don't care. His talk put that in motion.
Yes.
Like you said, he lost this lawsuit against E. Jean Carroll. And instead of just, you know, paying the $2 and moving on, he is still out there attacking this woman and saying dumb stuff. Now,
exactly. And you need to understand, too, Brother Bullock, that the Oath Keeper, the guy who was the head of the Oath Keepers, who helped to facilitate that January 6th attempted coup on the Capitol, just got sentenced to 18 years. In prison.
18 big ones. Yes, he did.
18 big ones.
And that's been the biggest sentence for those that they have put before judges and lawyers in this January 6th event.
Right. I believe his name is Rhodes. I might have that incorrect.
Yeah, his last name is Rhodes. And I will be honest, I feel no sympathy for him. Because he went into this knowingly, knowing what he was doing was against not only the law, but against the country.
Exactly.
You can say what you want, but that is treason.
You know that's right.
No, you may not agree with everything that happens in America. God knows that I don't. But you don't see me out here wanting to attack a president, try to overthrow a government. You know, I say what I have to say, write the people I have to write, and I keep it moving.
Exactly. And that's how democracy is supposed to work. You don't have to like who won an election, but you have to accept the process. But this is not happening with DT. This is not happening with him, and he's wanting to double down on these falsehoods. And where is that going to lead us in the long run? I'm trying to figure out what the GOP's long game is for running the country, and we have a lot of candidates who say that they have the answer to that.
I don't think any of them have an answer to that madness. Again, the GOP, they talk a good game. They play to a certain base, but they have let it be known. They don't have any love for Black America. They don't have any love for Brown America. They don't like immigrants. unless they're white immigrants. They've shown their hand.
Yes. And isn't it interesting, Brother Bullock, that you've got GOP candidates running who are both of the things that you described. You got Nikki Haley, the daughter of East Indian immigrant, and you got Tim Scott, who says he's the worst, worst nightmare. So,
But the problem with that is Nikki Haley and Tim Scott do not think of themselves as being part of their race and their culture.
Isn't that, yes, thank you.
They don't. In fact, they work against, Nikki Haley changed her name and whole racial identity in order not to associate with her culture.
That's right.
Tim Scott is quick to tell that lie that Black America. And I'm still trying to figure that one out.
I think a lot of us are.
So,
quite a bit one to do that pushback about people likening him to, Clarence Thomas and things like that. But I say you can't have it both ways. You cannot use all the benefits of progressive ideals and affirmative action and then want to turn around and say, oh, I did it all by myself, or America is so wonderful that just on my merits, I got where I got. Really? Really? Okay.
That's the kind of stuff that is very detrimental to America. I don't care what Tim Scott says. And Tim Scott likes to tell that lie, yes, I did it all. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. And I've never been harassed by the police. No, Tim, you're lying. Because at one time you said you did get harassed by the police.
Exactly. Trying to have it both ways. And this is the same for somebody like Larry Elder, the Black conservative talk show host.
So, speaking of Brother Scott, he is I'm a Black conservative, and I'm from a key early primary state. Yes, Tim Scott launched his campaign last week. Tim Scott is tied into a big money donor from across the pond. So he's already letting us know he's bought and sold for.
Yeah, he's got like $23 million in his war chest, I've heard.
Yeah, he already letting us know he bought and paid for. And, I'm going to be real honest. Tim Scott, to me, is going to be a Senate version of Herschel Walker. He may not say as many dumb things as Herschel Walker, but he will get that same treatment.
Yes.
And nobody
is saying that you cannot be a Black conservative. Nobody is saying that.
Because there are plenty out there. J.C. Watts from Oklahoma was one.
Come on.
You got Byron Donalds out of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
No one is saying that because you're Black, you can't be a conservative. As I always say, you vote your heart, your politics, you do what you do. And if you feel like being a conservative suits you, by all means, knock yourself out. But don't get mad at me when Snoopy don't come home.
Absolutely.
Sooner or later, those very folks that you are on their feet.
Mm.
black man. Once you are no longer useful, they are going to be done with you.
Oh, yes. Exactly. And if they can't see that, then they're wearing some kind of magical blinders that, you know, it's just so obvious to the rest of us. And I just find it interesting that people don't want to see what is actually there in front of their faces. Because as you say, when the party gets done with them, they're going to get kicked to the curb. And what then? Where are you going to go if you're no longer aligned with your conservative friends and neighbors? Then what?
Exactly. Once he, you know, says something or does something that they don't think is what they're talking about, it's going to be a problem.
Exactly. Exactly. And people need to understand that that is how, you know, that's how democracy is supposed to work. But I, like I said earlier, I'm trying to figure out what the GOP's long game is, the way that it is now, because this cult of 45 that they have going is not sustainable. You know, I mean, it used to be that the GOP was all about fiscal conservatism and all this, but right now we have this push and pull, this stalemate about the debt ceiling. So
I don't think the GOP has a long game because there are so many different factions in the GOP now. You have very few traditional Republicans now. Now you got the MAGA Republicans, you got the Greyhound Republicans, you got 7-8 different groups.
Right.
And they're all fighting against each other. Because they all want to be in charge and in control. You have some out there who are just really, really dangerous.
This is true. And, you know, talking about dangerous is the, I guess, the best bet as a contender for 45 for Donald Trump is Ron DeSantis of Florida.
Yes, I was just getting ready to get into that. And if you allow me, I will do exactly that.
Please.
So.
Enlighten us.
Here we have Ron DeSantis, who is currently the governor of Florida, who has passed a law that is going to allow him to run for president but still keep his job as governor. Now, anyone who has followed politics knows that once you declare that you're going to run for president, you have to give up the governorship.
Well,
not Ron DeSantis. He has conned Florida House down there into allowing him to run for president and remain governor.
The GOP okey-doke, y'all.
The GOP okey-doke. Now, Ron DeSantis is also that guy who started the Don't Say Gay movement in Florida, and then, of all things, he picked a fight with the biggest employer in the state of Florida. He decided he was going to attack the House of the Mouse.
Yep.
Now, I can honestly say Mickey is a homie of mine. Mickey is one of my homeboys, so I stand with my West Coast mouse. Me and Mickey is home. I done been to his house in Anaheim. I done hung with his folks. I done hung out with his crew, Pooh Bear, Jiminy Cricket. I done hung with
on,
people. You know? I roll with the West, and the West is the best. So,
I can't argue with you.
Ron DeSantis filed his paperwork yesterday, and he decided that he was going to launch his campaign on Twitter with his good friend, Elon mayonnaise musk.
Come on.
And so during the time that he did his Spaces release, they had so many problems. It's just laughable.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. It kept crashing. Voices couldn't be heard. It was muffled. The servers kept dropping, and they wanted to come back and say, well, the servers were dropping because so many people were trying to get on. No, your technicians had no clue what the hell they was doing.
Exactly.
That was your problem. Karma,
exactly.
Karma decided to visit Ron big time yesterday.
Yeah, it did. It really did. And I think that DeSantis is really trying to rework his image by going, he wanted to make himself look very modern and very progressive and cutting edge, but he wound up getting cut on that edge. He really did.
Well, you can't make yourself look modern, cutting edge, someone using initiatives when you're out here attacking minorities. I mean, look what he did with diversity. He's done away with that. He's refusing to allow Black history to be taught. He just allowed school district in Miami to attack Amanda Goring and her,
and what
you know, what they did to her was ridiculous.
About him not letting Chinese residents buy land in Florida. I thought that GOPs like that sort of, you know, commercialism and capitalism and things like that.
They like that commercialism if it's all about white folks.
Oh, okay.
So look what he's done to minorities. He's attacking immigrant workers. He's attacking minority workers.
Yes.
Right now in the state of Florida, crops aren't being picked. Homes aren't being built. Trucks in certain areas aren't moving. Why? Because the people who were doing these jobs, you have run off. They packed up and moved to other states where they can get work and don't have to put up with your stupid rules. See, you know, in the words of Kenny Rogers, you picked the wrong time to leave me, Lucille.
Exactly.
When
and so DeSantis, we look at this as a microcosm of what he wants to do to the country.
Yes. When DeSantis decided to attack Hispanic workers, he really, really did damage to the economy of the state of Florida. And I mean big time damage, because you know, like I know, there are certain jobs white America is not going to do. Not going to happen.
But they've shown us that for many years.
Now, the president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, has called on the Hispanic people to Florida not to give Ron DeSantis one vote.
Yes, he did.
Because of the attacks. Attacks on minorities and Hispanic people. Now, I'll be honest. You're going to find a lot of Cubans who are going to vote for him. Why?
Right.
Because Cubans suffer from that same old, same old.
That communism kind of, anti-communist kind of, yes, they tend to be very conservative. I'm not saying all of them, but they do. They tend to be conservative.
And as you know, 45 seized upon the difficulties that DeSantis had, and even he came back and said he has just proven to America that he can't lead. And Liz Cheney, who is also going to put her hat in the ring, and I saw that coming. She said, you know, because DeSantis made this statement about should he become president, he was willing to pardon 45. She said right then and there that anyone who would pardon anyone who had anything to do with January 6th is not fit to be president of the United States.
See, wow. That's huge right there. That's huge right there. And I'm trying to figure out, is DeSantis going to be able to hold on to the people who had initially endorsed him? And I'm talking about people like Florida Representative Laura Lee, Freedom Caucus members like Chip Roy from Texas and Thomas Massey of Kentucky. Roy it has been real consistent about, you know, taking up for DeSantis, but this is somebody that was a prior 45 supporter. But can DeSantis hold on to these people who are initially endorsing him?
I believe they will stick with him until they think the wheels are falling off, and then they will shift candidates. They will shift candidates. They will find someone to shift to. Even though DeSantis likes to make people think that his numbers are booming, they are not.
No.
He tries to play this role of he's the anti-Trump, but if you look at him and pay attention to him, he's not the anti-Trump. He's just Trump-like.
Yeah, Trump too. Yes, I think that's better than what I was going to say. I was going to say Trump 2.0, but that would be an improved version. It's better said that he's Trump-like.
Yeah, he's just trying to revamp some of the things that 45 did and try to pronounce it in a different way. But it's the same old shtick.
And what really gets me, Brother Bullock, is as an American, I have a problem with this hate speech that keeps spewing from these GOP candidates. And I'm including, you know, Nikki and Tim, all of them. You know, I don't want to buy into a system or a candidate, conservative if they may be, that has a problem, has no problem, I should say, attacking certain, you know, groups of people in this country. You know, migrants are very vulnerable. If you are a migrant and you're coming from someplace else, there's a reason for that. You didn't just get up and say, okay, well, I'm going to move from one country, my country, to another. You know, there's a reason that you're leaving, and these folks are being attacked, not to mention the poor and the underserved in this country who happen to be people of color. I just have a problem with that, and I don't see the GOP candidates addressing what's really wrong with America. They want to blame and be hateful, and I'm just not for that. So, but you're right about DeSantis. Totally correct about DeSantis.
You know, and DeSantis is one of those people who's quick to say, we're taking freedom back in Florida, and we're taking education to a new level in Florida. How are you taking education to a new level when you're banning books, when you're banning free speech, when you're removing classes from colleges and taking away funding from teachers if they teach a certain way? How is that improving education? And one of the other things I truly dislike is this new initiative he has where he's taking state and government funds and he's bringing in all these questionable officers who got put off of police forces in other states and paying in these big funds and big bonuses to come be police officers in Florida now.
Wow.
In other words, he's building his own little racist police force.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, his fascist army, I'm using army in quotes. This is frightening stuff. And this is not what America is supposed to be about. Not at all. But this is this MAGA movement, this political niche of hatefulness needs to be exposed for what it is. I mean, we've seen this kind of stuff before in the world. We saw it in World War II with the Nazis. I mean, nobody was taking Hitler serious either until it was just about too late. And I'm not saying DeSantis is Hitler, so nobody, you know, don't call in about that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a kernel of hate can be planted and then allowed to grow. And we don't want that in America. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, another thing is, you know, the GOP is quick to say, we accept everyone and we only care about your character, not your skin color, not your ethnicity. But yet, that's what you always seem to attack about people.
Right. That exactly. Exactly.
Nikki Haley put together.
And
go
it's
ahead.
True for a lot of these candidates, like this guy that I had not heard about before, Brother Bullock. You probably have because you're more on this kind of thing than I am. But his name is Vivek Ramaswamy or something like that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He was. I heard that he was censured recently by LinkedIn for hate speech, talking about climate change and China. And this guy wrote a book called Woke Incorporated. And, you know, this is somebody else who is a person of color who has bought in to this GOP Kool-Aid about what's wrong with America. And I'm throwing him in the same batch with Nikki Haley and Tim Scott about, you know, them really divorcing themselves from their own background.
Well, he is a, you know, East Indian cat who was born in East India, raised here in the United States, 37-year-old, former tech wizard and CEO. And, he has hung out with a lot of those white conservative types, and that is the mindset he has. He doesn't have a big national profile politically.
No.
And I think he's one of those guys who, like Musk, has all these millions, don't know what to do with them. So I'll just say I'll run for president because, you know, I know a few cats and, you know, I can make a splash. I can disrupt something. And I really think that's about what he is about right now.
Exactly. He's probably going to get knocked off early. But, you know, when you made that comment about DeSantis and the GOP and where they're going, I just want to throw his name out there because they have a wide field, but right now, I think Ron DeSantis is the challenger front runner, challenging Donald Trump for the GOP nomination. And it's really interesting because so many people have said about DeSantis that, you know, he's not really good with people. You know, he's kind of wooden and stiff when he's out, you know, campaigning and things like that. And his wife, who I guess was a former TV host, is really, you know, his better half when it comes to campaigning and stuff like that. But I don't think she's going to be able to save him.
The fake Jackie wannabe?
Yeah, Casey DeSantis.
Because, you know, Casey DeSantis, to me, is someone people need to keep their children away from. She is definitely a dangerous person. It reminds me of someone who sits in the background and controls other people. It is said that he always has an earwig in his ear and she's giving him commands on how to stand, what to say, what to do, how to look. I have no problem believing that.
That is more frightening than the hate speech.
If you've seen pictures of her lately, I want you to think back to Jacqueline Kennedy and how she dressed and carried herself.
Mm-hmm.
And just sometimes go on the internet, and put Casey DeSantis' name in, and pull up images of her. And I can tell you honestly, she really is trying to pattern herself after Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. She's trying to bring that old school dress back. She's trying to get that stance. She's trying to get that wave. That's scary.
Mm-hmm. So they want democratic elegance, but they're putting it in a hate-filled package. That is, wow. Oh, man.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
Politics
wow.
in America. Yeah.
So what else you got over there?
I'm looking at some of the other people who are, looking at trying to run on the GOP ticket. I'm talking about people like Mike Pence, John Bolton.
Mike Pence, the fly guy.
Chris Sununu, governor of New Hampshire. We already mentioned Larry Elder, and then Glenn Youngkin.
Let's dive into the fly guy, Mr. Mike Pence, former vice president, 63 years old.
Right.
In all honesty, Mike Pence latched on to 45 when 45 asked him to be his running mate because as the governor of Indiana, that ship had sunk. Mike Pence was one of the worst governors ever in that state.
I agree with you about that, but I have to say the one thing that I like about Mike Pence, and it's not the fact that those people on January 6th were looking for him to lynch him. I appreciated the fact that he respected the political process of losing an election and saying, okay, well, we lost. Let's pack our bags and go, which 45 didn't want to do. But Mike,
you know,
what he needed to do in that, and he did it.
A lot of people are quick to say, well, you know, Mike Pence stood up. He stood up to 45 with that. I hate to tell you, Mike Pence didn't have a choice but to get his group and get Mike Pence will never admit that 45 turned his back on him. And to this day, he will still say, well, you know, it's kind of misunderstood. No, it wasn't, because 45 basically had thrown you to the woods.
Well, yeah, and you know what, Brother Tony, this is the problem with the GOP, that they don't want to call a spade a spade. They don't want to say what really is happening with Donald Trump. And that is the problem. This is why they're going down this road to perdition, this road to hell, because of this. They don't want to admit what a terrible president Trump was. And they're gonna step
before it. Yeah, they are. And you know, I find it funny that guys like Mike McCarthy, who has the audacity to want to talk about, you know, we got into this death feeling because of no, we got into it because when 45 was president, instead of you guys standing up and telling him what he couldn't do, you were just right there like little lap dogs. Yeah, go ahead. Knock yourself out. You can do that.
Right. Mike Pence has even admitted that they could have been more fiscally responsible when they were in the White House. He just said that this week. He said, okay, yeah, COVID came and we had to execute, you know, like emergency stuff. But he admitted that they could have done a better job of controlling federal spending. So,
yeah, they could have. But they chose not to. They chose to give their buddies, the 1%, a big, giant tax cut.
Mm-hmm, come on.
They chose to make concessions for people they owed, and then they protected themselves by stacking the courts.
Exactly. They certainly did, and we're still suffering with that. And we are still suffering with that. So, I'm wondering, is Mike Pence really serious about running?
Mike Pence is one of those guys, you know, his biggest strength is he appeals to white Christian evangelicals. But, his break with 45 has made him a pariah with the MAGA base.
Yeah.
Remember, he was the guy that they was running through there hollering, hang him, hang him, hang him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were looking for him. They were looking for him.
And even though he does not want to admit it, his life was in danger.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, Brother Bullock, we need to understand the real gravity of what happened on January 6th, because treason is no joke. You know, people can get shot, killed, and in prison for treasonous behavior. And so if we want to shore up what democracy is really about in America, we really need to politically educate ourselves and understand what's happening now, because this MAGA movement with these neo-fascist Christian identity type people, that is going to be a continued problem in this country unless we fight against it.
Yes,
I haven't seen this kind of rhetoric since the 1920s, when the KKK got a real stronghold in America. Americans really need to be careful, and I don't want to be the voice of human beings. And I don't care if you're a Republican or what you are. If you're a conservative, I'm cool with that. That's not who I am, but if that's who you are, cool. I'm talking about the negative, hate-filled, racist, anti-Semitist tone that these people have. That's the issue that I have.
Exactly.
Not about their political views. Mm-hmm.
Now, someone else who has said that they're going to run is Kristi Noem. Now, Kristi Noem is the governor of South Dakota.
Okay.
And, you know, she is another one. She tries to act Trump-like on the female side, you know, being a female.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she comes from a family. She's of Norwegian ancestry. Her dad got killed in a farming machine accident, but their family property, you know, she comes from a spot. They had a hunting lodge and a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But she is the current governor. She served in the House of Representatives in North Dakota. And like I said, she is the current governor.
Okay.
She doesn't really have a big national profile other than the things she's been involved in, you know, during COVID. She allowed all those people to come to North Dakota and not wear masks.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people left there and brought that sickness back to their home states.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I vaguely remember her about that. And I do remember some indigenous tribes having a problem with that because a lot of the reservation folks were devastated by the sickness. So
yes, they were devastated, and she really didn't want to give them the kind of help that she was just giving, you know, everyday citizens of the state, because they were on the reservation, and that should be a federal problem.
Right, right.
Again, that race and hate thing that the GOP likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
And being from a small state, you know, she doesn't have much name recognition out there, and she's another one that will probably, you know, be here one minute, gone the next.
Right, get picked off early. Because, now help me remember this, because the year that 45 and 10 got elected, weren't there like 16 candidates running during the time that 45 was running?
Yeah, there were like 16 of them, and there was a group of them, including little Marco Rubio.
Yeah. Thank you, Brother Bullock. I could not remember. Yes, little Marco. That's right. That's right. Wow. I just had a flash from the past on that one when you mentioned his name. Wow. Yeah.
Whoa. Now, of course, another, you know, like Nikki Haley, my girl Liz Cheney. Yeah.
Wow.
Is talking about putting her ring in the hat. And, you know, now this here, Liz, I think Liz can give him a run for the money.
Well, I have a better respect for Liz Cheney than I do of most of the people that we've talked about tonight. Yeah, she's a conservative, but you know what? The way she approaches different issues, I have more respect for her than I do most of the people that we've talked about tonight.
Well, one of the things about Liz is this. Liz is Dick Cheney's daughter, and that apple does not fall far from the tree.
Yes. Yes. But the thing is that I'm trying to remember what it was, why I feel this way about Liz, and I'm trying to remember she broke ranks with the GOP about I'm having a brain blur, so please excuse me. No.
And I kind of think I know what you're talking about, but she did break ranks with him, which cost her seat. And
yes, it did.
The person that ran against her, wow, when you talk, oh, my God. Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, but, yeah, I think Liz Cheney is going to be there for a while. She's gonna mix it up.
She could actually, you know what? She could actually redeem the GOP if she could get in the right position in order to do that. And I'm saying that quite, you know, I'm being very candid about this because the GOP needs some serious help. It needs to be cleaned up from top to bottom. You know, enough of these people like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, you know, who are saying nothing about MAGA and all of that. They've just kind of like thrown up their hands and like, whatever. No, you need to clean up your party. But I have to say, I am quite surprised that somebody like Mike Pompeo hasn't declared. And
I don't think Mike Pompeo is going to run because Mike Pompeo is one of those guys. He's steady making noise on the sidelines, and he's had ample opportunity to say that he's going to run. But Mike Pompeo knows himself that it wouldn't work for him. Mike Pompeo has done way too much dirt that's easily trackable.
Yeah, I feel that way too. Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree with you.
I don't see him running. Believe it or not, Chris Christie again is talking about he's gonna run. And
he's got a lot of baggage from New Jersey, though. He's Chris Christie's got a lot of baggage and a lot of political that political baggage. You remember that issue they had with him about the bridge? I want to call it Bridgegate, but it was something else.
Yeah, no, it
in
was
New
Bridgegate.
Jersey. It was Bridgegate.
It was
okay.
Bridgegate, and you know, Chris Christie really just need to go sit down somewhere. No, seriously.
I'm laughing because I agree with you.
For Chris Christie, you know, he's tried at least three times, and no one has ever taken him seriously. That's a hint.
That is a hint.
This isn't going to change either. And the fact that...
What did you think about somebody like Asa Hutchinson?
Well, I was going to bring that up after I got through talking about Chris Christie.
Oh, please continue. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up once I finished talking about Chris Christie.
Let's talk about Chris Christie.
Chris Christie, after playing lapdog to 45, got mad at 45 and decided, well, I'm going to break ranks. Well, the damage is done, dude.
Yeah.
And at this point, just being, I will honestly say this, anyone who's ever been attached to 45, been in his cabinet, anything of that nature, you run the risk of having to really answer for some very heinous things.
Exactly.
And if you don't come up with an answer, you toast.
Yes. See, and this is the thing. You know, they said politics makes strange bedfellows, but when you go back over the track record and then you want to reinsert yourself into something, you got to bring all that political baggage with you.
Yes, you do. Now, you were mentioning Asa Hutchinson, 72-year-old former governor of Arkansas, who is strongly conservative and has, you know, he claims he's opposed 45 before, but I, for one, know that at one point, Asa and 45 walked hand in hand. They was buds.
Thank you, because I don't remember him breaking with 45, so thank you for saying that.
Now, it really isn't clear what his appetite for politics is, other than, you know, him being the governor of Arkansas. Now, he has stated that people like to say this is a two-man race between 45 and DeSantis, but they're wrong about that. Because I have the money to compete, and I have enough money to stick around till Super Tuesday. Again, he's another one who's very well-funded. He has, again, sold his soul to certain folks.
Wow.
Which means he would be doing the bidding of someone sitting back in the weeds.
So he, you know what, when I hear the description that you just gave of Hutchinson, I'm like, okay, so this guy is like a sleeper candidate. You know, he's going to lie, you know, in the cut, as you would say, and just wait. But the thing is that he's going to be one of the people that 45 is going to mow down early. He's going to machine gun him early and take him out. And that's the thing. A lot
they're
of people
try
cannot...
because
yeah.
I think they see him as a real threat. I can tell you this honestly. Hutchinson is the kind of guy, he can pick DeSantis off.
Oh, yeah. That I believe. Now, whether or not he can hold his own with 45, I don't know about that. You know, and it's really sad because 45 is heavy on the political quips and you know, tossing out that trash talk. But Asa Hutchinson is somebody who, you know, as a governor, he knows how to govern. He knows how to govern.
Exactly.
And that's gonna hold him
he knows how to govern. And
yes.
I think what Asa's strong suit will be is that he will be able to out-money 45. See, 45 talks a lot of, you know, he sells that image, I got money, I got money, I got money. But yet he's always right. begging for money.
Exactly. Well, it's all smoke and mirrors with 45.
My thing is, if you got money, why are you begging for money?
Exactly. Well, now, you know, they always say that the so-called, you never use your own money for things. You always try to get it from somebody else. But the thing is that he doesn't have any of his own money. You know, remember, that was this big thing about him claiming more property and more assets than he actually had to secure loans for different things. And so
exactly.
It's smoke and mirrors for 45 when it comes to finance.
Mm-hmm. Just like Liz Cheney, Asa is one of those cats. I believe he can throw something in the mix.
Well, this is going to be interesting to see. It really, really is. And I, you know how we do when it comes to election years. We're going to have a good time as 2024 approaches, talking about politics in America. We're going to have a good time. But I'm going to have even better time. We're going to have even better time talking about these GOP candidates
The GOP always has a bad habit of they're like sharks on a feeding frenzy. Somebody gets cut and they all go for it.
Mm. See.
They all go on the attack, and they take one another out with no problem.
Yeah.
Think about that one debate when they had like that, like 14 people on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
And they just went after each other like crazy.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. And that was unfortunate. And who came out a winner after that was, you know, 45.
Yeah.
Just doing two shots at people. But you're right, it was a feeding frenzy. It was.
Yeah. And so also, Chris Sununu is saying he wants to run.
Right.
And you know what? Sununu,
he's got the name recognition from his dad, and you know, he's been a governor of New Hampshire, so you know, as a governor you learn how to govern. And that does transfer well on a national level, but I don't think he's got the political chops.
Yeah, I was just about to say, yes, he knows how to govern, but he knows how to govern in the old GOP party. Remember, this is that new madness we're dealing with.
Oh, you ain't lying about that.
See, this is the GOP on crack.
That was a good way to put it, Brother Bullock. Very good way to put it.
This is the GOP that we grew up with. These cats here, man, they on a brand new drug. They out there.
It really is. And here I was thinking, you know, when Teflon Ron came along, that the GOP had taken an interesting turn. This is a whole different level of GOP.
It is. It's a whole different level.
Yeah.
Look at Matt Gaetz. Look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. Lord Boebert, who said it was cheaper to have a child other than pay for birth control. Okay,
yeah,
so
I thought that before our show started. I'm like, is she serious?
My thing is,
that must be
okay,
child, so
you didn't have the money to pay for your birth control pills at the time, but you mean to tell me you couldn't walk over there and pay for some condoms off the shelf?
See.
That's still birth control.
That was taking a political standpoint to a stupid conclusion. what she did.
Man.
And that was insulting. As a woman, that was insulting to me.
I'm telling you, I'm still thinking about that crazy statement because as a parent and a grandparent, I know what it takes to raise children. No, it is that cheaper to raise a child than it is to buy birth control, lady.
And not only that, what is that saying about the quality of life that you're providing for the children that you have?
Man.
I mean, if I was one of her children, I would feel really bad. Just like,
But again, you know, that's that new, that I'm telling you.
The birth control and access to abortion is not just about, reproductive rights. It's also about health care and what's best for any given woman at any given time in their life. And Boebert and people like her are totally, ignoring that.
Again, that's that new GOP. They're different. Now, Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia,
mm-hmm.
is talking about throwing his hat into the ring.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
But he is also not known as a dynamic speaker or even fairly smart.
Mm.
And if you follow some of the stuff that he's done lately, you understand why people are saying that.
You know, and I have to say, quite honestly, I didn't know who the dude was. I've heard you talk about him before on our show. But when I was, doing my research for the show, I was like, Youngkins, who is this guy? And then it's like, oh, okay, I've heard Brother Tony talk about this guy a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So that is something.
So,
but,
yeah,
as the governor of Virginia, he is considered, a southern politician. Virginia is still considered as part of the South.
Virginia is part of the South, yeah.
Yeah.
Virginia
so that might get him
part of the South.
But if he is not too bright, that's going to be a problem.
And of
Lord
course,
knows if there are some smart people in there.
And of course, we got your favorite girl, Nikki Haley.
Mm-hmm.
Former governor of South Carolina, who says she has no problem challenging 45, and should she become president, she's going to put a national ban on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
National ban.
Yeah.
No states can save you. Nothing. It will be a federal ban because I say so.
Wow. Yeah, that'll probably play really well with that whole MAGA, Christo fascist wing of the GOP. But luckily for us, we do still live in America. And, the states are working hard to try to change some of that. Some states are, I should say. But, yeah, for her, that's a big selling point for her candidacy.
I can see her saying And Nikki Haley has come out the box. She has come out and she is quick to point out that she feels like Ron DeSantis is doing nothing more than trying to copy 45 in his mannerisms and his words, his actions on stage. She say it's like looking at a cheap puppet.
Whoa.
So Nikki, she come to play.
Yeah. I'm wondering what her war chest is looking like, because as a woman and as a person of color, I'm sure that 45 is going to be gunning for her early and talking out of both sides of his mouth about how she's not fit to, to govern and all of this stuff. So, this should be interesting.
She say one of her – now, remember, she was made an ambassador in 45's
right.
administration. But
yes, I do remember.
All of a sudden now, 45 is not one of her, you know, he's not on her friends list.
No. No. And we have to understand that that's because of her gender and her ethnicity, that's why she got to be an ambassador. 45 was trying to be strategic, if we can use that term when it comes to him. Like, hey, see how I can,
you know, I'll be honest. It wasn't so much 45 being strategic. Nikki Haley campaigned for that ambassadorship. And she did everything that 45 asked of her. She played the Carrie Lake role. She vacuumed the red carpet. She did everything she was asked to do. But now that she's running for president, I need to put some distance between me and him and make people forget that I was actually in that administration.
Yeah, I wish her good luck with that.
Nikki Haley is crazy like a fox.
Well, I tell you one thing. I really don't think that she has the chops to be president, and I really would hope that she is not going to be able to secure that nomination. And it's not just because of who she is. It's about the stuff that she espouses. And I'm saying the same thing about 45.
Yeah, because, she has said, should she become president, she's going to find a way to make sure there are more Democrats in the Senate and the House more Republicans in the Senate and the House than it is Democrats. She's going to find a way to change that legally.
Well, we know for a fact that the GOP has no problem with gerrymandering and doing whatever is necessary to get their folks in those positions. So I'm not surprised by that.
Because in her eyes, the only way the United States can survive is for more Republicans to get bigger positions in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's like Hutchison. Hutchison said, should he become president, anyone who isn't 65, he say, and even certain 65-year-olds, if you're still in the condition to work, instead of getting Social Security, you will have to go back to work. And when you turn 65, you will get the bare minimum of Social Security, but you can keep working, and you can keep working, and the government won't tax you.
So these are the same people, Brother Tony, who are saying that people need to work until they drop, and wait for it. They want child labor laws rewritten so that we can put children to work. And now, remember, people, this is the same folks that DeSantis and his crew are changing all these education laws in Florida. They also want child labor laws, you know, changed so the children can get out there and work. So that those are the bookends there.
Well, as you know, they're doing that already with child labor laws.
I do know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, absolutely. So, folks, when you are thinking about your candidates and how you're going to vote in 2024 for president, I hope you remember this show.
Yes, indeed. It is amazing how the GOP will tell people that everything's cool and we got you and we're here for you.
Mm-hmm. You want to make America great again. Mm-hmm.
You want to make it great again, all right.
Exactly.
The question is, great. Yeah, the question is, great for who? See?
That's right. Exactly, because it's not great for everybody. It is not great for everybody.
I can tell you honestly, election 2024, on both sides of the aisle is going to be interesting. And I can tell you by the time the Republican Party finally come up with their nominee, whoever they may be, it's got to be interesting.
It is. It really is. And I know that we're going to be doing some shows about the Democratic candidates and, you know, what's going on with them. But this has been a great show for me because I don't think a lot of people understand what's going on with the GOP and who their candidates are. So I'm glad we had a chance to talk about this tonight.
Well, not only that, we talked about the ones that have came out and declared, because God knows next week we may have 6 or 7 more.
Well, that's absolutely a possibility. Absolutely,
you know,
a possibility.
One never knows with the GOP. It changes on a daily basis.
You know what? As somebody who's been a political watcher for many years, I have to say, to me, this GOP that we got right now is unrecognizable. How did you put it, Brother Buller, that they're the GOP on crack?
That is the GOP on crack. They just, wow, they different. And I was on my Twitter feed earlier today, and, man, I saw MTG try to go after somebody and get her hat handed to her. Oh, man, that woman took her apart. But,
that's
you know, I'm sitting here going.
On a regular basis, because she got issues.
You know,
Green got
unfortunately with her, it's always that open mouth and insert foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she doesn't think before she speaks.
No, and I wonder what kind of staff she's got that doesn't try to reel her in a little bit better before she's making all these kind of statements.
But the
they just,
you know,
don't do anything with them.
Let me just go back to what I really have a problem with. Those folks who voted for her, y'all saw what she did the first time, and then you stuck her back in there?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Lauren Bobbitt. You saw what she did, and y'all stuck her back in there.
Well, you know what, and we need to be asking why. And I always say when it comes to politics, you have to follow the money with things that don't make sense. And who is benefiting two women being where they are, because you and I both know that they're being used. They're espousing stuff that is just ridiculous and off the wall, and in some instances totally wrong. But they're being used for a purpose, and people need to understand that. I mean, now if these women are really conservative and they really believe in how they feel about reproductive rights and all that, and okay, fine. I just don't believe that. Okay, I guess my thing is, let me back up for a minute, Brother Bulla. I don't think that they have the political intelligence to do what it is they're doing. I think they're being used. That's just me.
Well,
that's just me.
Maybe to a certain extent, but some of that, it's just blatant stupidity. If, you know, I made a daily habit to check certain stuff politically. And I will go check certain stuff with the House of Representatives, the Senate. I go peek this stuff out. And I'm sitting there looking at some of these committees, and they're talking to people. And I'm telling you, some of the stuff that they do is like, you really did ask that question. And I'm like you, where are your handlers? Where are your people?
Exactly.
How come nobody is stopping her from opening mouth and inserting foot?
Exactly. Exactly. It's like they're stopping and sleep at the wheel. Yeah.
Like you said, it's going to be interesting. This is going to be an interesting ride all the way from city offices to the office of the president. State, you know, those Senate seats that are up and those House seats, all these races are going to be interesting. And I will be watching them with a full bowl of popcorn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Everybody should get their pants dirty. Yes.
I'm not going to miss it. We are at a point where we have to pay attention to what's happening in this country politically. Don't just sit back. Get involved. Pay attention to what's going on in your area. Like Sir Reed said, all elections are local.
Yes,
pay attention to what's happening, y'all.
If you're not registered, please register. Yes.
You know, with that said, we've had a very interesting night tonight. I hope we touched on some things for some folks. I hope some people, when they go back to listen to this, will be able to figure it out for themselves and make their own little suggestions on what they need to do. But please, folks, pay attention to what's going on with the election. And this is just not about Republicans. We will be dealing with the Democrats also.
Yeah. Oh, yes, indeed, because that's how we do it on this show. Everybody gets a turn.
Everybody gets a turn. So, Sister Reed, it is that time. It is that time.
All right. Well, you all who are listening, you know what I'm going to say, that this is about a mindset. And so I implore you to stay black until we get back with you.
Yes, indeed. Like I always say, each one reach one, teach one. Those of you proficient with your arms, please take your folks to the range. Get them trained up. Get them licensed. Start a neighborhood watch. Start a cop watch. Watch the people who are watching us. As we go forth in 2023, heading into the political year of 2024, pay attention to what's going on in your city, your county, your state. Pay attention to your local elections. Pay attention to your city elections. Get involved. Make sure you vote, but make sure you watch what's happening here in the country we call America. Everybody take care of their folks. Take care of one another. And until next week, we'll holler.